So it's my pleasure tonight to welcome Donna Wolpert to Many Rivers Books and Tea. She has this new book, the Moontime Harmony Workbook, A Path to Creating a Sacred and Harmonious Menstrual Moontime Cycle. And looks like there's also a journal here as well, which I didn't know about.
It's new. Just newly published.
And hence my ignorance. But we are delighted to welcome you here, and please feel free to begin and tell us about your work.
Okay, thank you. First thing I'd like to say is the word sacred, because unless we realize that the menstrual moontime cycle is a sacred cycle, harmony cannot exist and flow. And yes, periods are, or can be painful, they can be messy, they are maybe the curse, but all of that exists when the menstrual cycle is not in harmony with the sacred. It is actually called the blood mysteries, and there is an aspect to flowing in harmony with the blood mysteries that creates a painless and spiritual cycle, spiritual moon time. My journey began in Mexico. I, 25 years ago, started going to this little village in Mexico, and at the time there was no electricity, there still are no cars, you have to take a boat to get to it. It was a very simple, and still is simple, indigenous community. It's a place where you live in harmony with the natural world. And when you live without the influence of the modern world, you flow in harmony with the natural world. So I'll just read a little something in my introduction about that. I spent many years living in a coastal jungle fishing village in Mexico. In those early days, the village did not have any electricity, cars, or roads. Even today, the village still exists without cars and roads, while the main access is only by boat. I lived there for many years, sometimes with my children and sometimes without. Usually, I stayed at least 6 months, and each time, I began to attune to the harmonies and rhythms of the natural world, the moon, the tides, and the sun. It was through this attunement that my menstrual cycle, or moon time, aligned with the phases of the moon, and the information for this book surfaced. Each year that I returned, more clarity emerged, and the rhythms of the blood mysteries deepened. I finally became aware of my phases and cycles, and their interconnectedness with the moon and nature. I embraced this part of myself while opening up to the divine within. I became familiar with the signposts that helped me navigate my way into the garden of the goddess and began listening to her messages. So what happened to me is that through aligning myself with the natural world, I resonated in a different way. I became aware of a cyclic, rhythmic, monthly flow. What that meant was that each month I noticed there were patterns that repeated. I noticed that the phases of the moon affected these patterns, and I became aware of a way of identifying what was going on within me, i.e. charting. There's a way that you can follow your needs, you can chart your needs. And when a woman charts her needs, she becomes prepared for what her flow is going to express to her. But throughout the month, you're still connecting to the phases of the moon. And when you connect to the phases of the moon, then you connect within yourself. When you actually flow in your moon time, there's four different phases to that. And when a woman finally, the light bulb goes off and you finally understand that, then you are in harmony with the sacred part of the moontime cycle. And this is what the awareness and the wellness of women needs to happen. Because when you're out of alignment and when you're out of harmony with that, that's when you're diseased, or that's when pain arises. But when you flow in harmony with your body and what your body's telling you, I can't say that your flow will be totally painless, but your awareness will be heightened. So what I did was collect this information for myself, and I just wrote it down each time I went back to this little village. Each year, for about 2 or 3 years, I became more clear about it. And then one year when I went back to the home I had in Quebec, I heard a tape by a Native American woman called Brooke Medicine Eagle, and she had a tape called The Moon Lodge, where she expressed and explained the Native American take on the menstrual cycle, and it was exactly what I was experiencing. And her information explained the Moon Lodge, where the Native women would go into what is now called a red tent in most of our awareness, or most of our, we're more familiar with the word red tent as a result of the book The Red Tent. But the Native women would go to the Moon Lodge. They would be allowed to take this time off to go and be together, bleed together, but the important thing was that they were allowed to be with themselves. Because during that time is when a woman can access her inner divinity. And when you can access your own inner divinity, you have the opportunity to find healing, you have the opportunity to become more creative, and you have the opportunity to just be in touch with yourself and listen to yourself. And that was the message that I was getting. That was the experience I was experiencing when I was in my village in Mexico. Just organically and naturally, I would go off during my moon time and I'd take a walk up river, and I'd just find a nice little cozy spot, lean against a rock, listen to the flow of the water, and I just have the opportunity to go within myself. That's where I felt the most comfortable. Then I come back. Of course, you go into your moon lodge, you go through your cycles, and then you come out of it. But there was a pattern. There was a pattern of flowing, just like the cycles of the phases of the moon from dark to light. There was a darkness. I'd flow into a darkness within myself. When I would honor it by separating myself from the world, I'd flow through this waxing cycle, and then towards the end I'd start coming more out into the full moon phase, where I'd come out into the light of myself. I'd feel energized, I'd feel renewed, and I'd feel sort of put back together again. And often there'd be a little piece of information about my life that I would have gathered, and then I take that with me and bring it back into the world and bring it back into the next month. So once I started understanding there was this cycle and listened to the Moon Lodge tape, all the little pieces of this book started to kind of surface. And I wrote them down, and 25 years ago, I put them in a format that I didn't know what to do with. And 2 years ago, I realized one can self-publish. So I took this format out and revised it and edited it, and discovered that there was through Facebook, discovered there was a whole new world of menstrual awareness and a need for it. So here I am with the book that finally got published last October, and I also decided that a smaller, more condensed version was probably just as useful. So the 2 months ago, I published the journal version. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to have presented it right here, at least. And hopefully the world will start understanding that the menstrual cycle has so many more dimensions to it than just the shedding of the lining of the uterus. It's not just about birthing and having a baby. There's a very integral part connected to what's called the blood mysteries, where a woman has the opportunity to connect to her divine feminine self. And when you connect to your divine feminine self, you become a more whole, healthy person, and you can flow with harmony. I'm going to read another quick little part here. So the Moontime Harmony Workbook was created to be used as a work or guidebook to encourage a spiritual wellness during your menstrual cycle. It offers ideas, suggestions, and Moontime-related focuses. It's not meant to be a source of information, but a source of direction and inspiration, things to think about. It's intended to help a woman achieve a love and a deeper understanding of her menstrual cycle or Moontime. The intention is to illuminate the blessings of the blood mysteries, the essence of which has been existing in the dark. The goal is to encourage a woman to look forward to her monthly cycle because she will know how to be prepared. A woman can learn to listen to the voices of her body, emotions, and spirit. This will then help her to build the confidence that she needs to know how to trust her own intuitive intelligence and wisdom. This will help to demystify and empower her experience. And in my belief, it will also help to eliminate, remove, I don't know, lessen pain. I myself loved my moon time. I felt it was a coming home to myself. I didn't experience pain. Yes, occasionally I experienced discomforts that when I realized there were certain times of the month they would occur, I could research what to do about it, and did, i.e. I took calcium 2 weeks before, and certain discomforts were eliminated. And what I realized is that I believe most discomforts can be eliminated, and that when you understand this might cause that, or it's a deficiency of that could cause that, or a supplement or an herb can help that, and you know that a certain time of the month, that's when that occurs due to your hormonal changes, you can be on top of it. And I think you can actually eliminate all your PMS symptoms, all your whatever the most current big pharma labeling of the, you know, symptoms are. I truly believe that you can eliminate them all. And I think when a woman understands that she needs that time to take care of herself, and that I don't want to say she's entitled, although I do believe she's entitled to it, but when she understands that, yes, there would be a day, an hour, a minute, a moment during her cycle when she needs to focus only on herself, that she can prepare for it, that women can share that, women can give each other that time. It's not this the way the modern world works. It's not set up for a woman to go to a moon lodge for 5 days, unless you're a lucky woman, but maybe just an hour where you can crawl into bed, where you can sit under a tree, where you can go off by yourself and just be with yourself would help. And I think women can provide that for each other. Husbands, partners, when they know that, they can offer that to each to their spouses. I mean, there's ways of creating the opportunity that women need when you have the awareness that you really do need that. And that the health of not just your body, not just your emotions, not just your self-benefits, but the awareness that when you can provide that for yourself, your family will benefit because you'll be a happier, harmonious person. You'll bring this information into the world. You'll bring it into your workplace. You'll be a more renewed and more re-energized person, and you can bring it back out into the world. And that's, I think, the next step. The next step isn't just about taking a pill that Big Pharma says, oh, now you can take a pill and you don't even have to have a moon time for a whole year. To me, that's frightening. It's harmful. It's taking away this goddess-given gift to women. I don't personally believe that would be in anybody's best interest, but I'm not the authority to tell anybody what to do, but I do believe that there are other ways to deal with what might be considered the discomforts or the problems in a healthy, holistic way.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. There have been anthropological studies when women live in close quarters, often their menstrual cycles begin to converge. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if, when you were going to this village in Mexico, if you, in communication with the people you were living, the women you were living with among, if anything like that arose for you.
You know, yes. I wouldn't say we talked about it much, but I noticed that during the new moon, most women menstruate either when in harmony with the natural world, menstruate either around the new moon or the full moon. So when a woman is bleeding around the new moon, which is what women in indigenous communities most often did, that prepared them to then receive the sperm, receive new life at the full moon. So in the dark of the moon is when they would be menstruating, at the full of the moon is when they would be ovulating. Some women actually ovulate at the full moon, and when they ovulate at the full moon, what they're birthing usually is a creativity, a new creative endeavor, or a new creative idea. And when you're in a place where the electric world doesn't interfere with your hormonal changes, yes, women do ovulate or menstruate often at the same time.
Now, I remember that there used to be, at least in some mythological contexts, what you're talking about in terms of, you know, this kind of sacred viewpoint on menstrual cycles for women. I'm just wondering if you're connecting it all to that kind of historical, you know, I don't know if I can call it precedence, since there's so little information, but that at the very least, you know, that historical concept that this is something that, you know, that has in the past been a major facet of society and might be again in that same sort of way.
Most definitely. Like I said, for me, I listened to Brooke Medicine Eagle. She had a tape called The Moon Lodge, where she explained the Native American experience of the menstrual cycle, where the women would menstruate at the same time. The elder women, who, like myself, were not menstruating anymore, and the partners would be prepared to take care of the children. And the women organically knew they could just flow and drift off into the Moon Lodge for whatever amount of time they needed. They didn't have to, they were not taking care of anything. They didn't have to prepare food that was provided for them. They didn't have to think about taking care of the children. That society understood that this was a very, very sacred time for women, and that women would be receiving, it was as if it was a shamanic moment. Women would receive messages from their inner divine, I don't know that they called it goddess, but their higher power, and that they honored that. The society honored that, because the women would then come back feeling energized, renewed, with maybe some wisdom, some new concept, some new idea that they would then, of course, share with the community, and that would be an important information. It was a sacred time. It was sacred to the community that the women had to do that. The women, women were that. Women were the conduit to the higher power, and more effortlessly. You know, men had a vision quest. When a man reached a certain age in Native American societies, they went out and did a vision quest for themselves and for their tribe. Well, women were doing that monthly, and they understood that. So it was a very honored time. But yes, there are many other societies around the world that did that, that allowed the women the space to do and be what they needed to do and be, knowing full well that it would then contribute to the rest of the community. And there are societies where girls are removed, but they're still considered dirty.
Right, that seems more,
you know,
like a stigma.
They're still out there considered dirty. Unfortunately, there's that belief system, and young women are going to adopt that internalize that belief about themselves. Although there's a part of me that goes, you're kind of lucky you get to, you know, be with yourself, and maybe you'd be strong enough to not take on that belief system. In my book, I have 13 focuses. So my first focus is about the menarche, the very first moon time, because I believe that that's where you get the imprinting, positive or negative. Are you going to be told you've got the curse now? Or are you going to be honored as a young girl moving into womanhood with knowing that you have this gift? Of course, most girls move into the curse. Well, if you're going to believe that this is a curse, if this is something awful, your own mind is going to create a negative imprint, and you're going to believe that it has to be painful. You know, you become what you think a lot of the time. So just to get back into it, there's a lot of Facebook information out there where women are rediscovering or honoring the fact that it is a sacred moment. And that's one of the reasons I'm encouraged to keep putting this information out there.
Very cool.
Yes.
So you mentioned earlier that there was little bits of information that would come to you when you were in this moon time, these moments of removal, I guess. from the rest of the community, and I'm wondering if you could give us an example.
Of something that I personally, Well, one example is that I, through the process of removing myself, I began to get these little pieces of information that I've then turned into the workbook. I began to realize that there is a higher or a more sacred side to this menstrual cycle, because that's where I would flow. I would go into something that seemed more otherworldly. And did I have a epiphany? Not necessarily that I can remember. I didn't necessarily, I mean, I don't remember this many moons ago now, but my main epiphany was just that, yes, this is a sacred time. And there's a process to it. Another focus is what I realized there was four phases. So I identified it for myself as passing through my menstrual medicine wheel. There seems to be a Native American influence for me, so I honored it by realizing that there's a medicine wheel process. So I would enter in the east, that's when my moon time would begin. And when that moment happened and I would enter into the east, there would be triggers of, okay, now this is about to happen. Get prepared, realize that the next whatever little bit of time, several days, you're going to be somewhere else. Maybe it would be a day. So then I would start preparing. I would start preparing my own little moon lodge. Then I would find myself moving down to the south. And the south is where things start crystallizing. Okay, last month maybe I had an issue about something or somebody. And now I'm in the south. And now I'm starting to realize what this issue is a little, it's becoming clearer to me. I'm getting information about how can I find a solution in a holistic way. How can I heal this issue? Then in another day or two, I might move into the West. You know, the West is sometimes a place where you start going really deep inside yourself, and you go to a place where you maybe hit a little bit of darkness, or rock bottom where your emotions are really wobbly and you go, oh my God, is this really happening to me? But that would then, to me, that was when I was in the garden of the goddess. And then I'd have to sit with it, and that's when I would maybe take my walk up river where I'd be totally alone and, you know, listen to the natural world, and it would take me to a place where I'd go, yes. And sort of a light bulb would come on, and the intensity of that darkness would start to break through, and then I know I would be moving into the north, where I'd be starting to come out of that process having experienced some wisdom. And then physically, I would lighten up. Emotionally, I would lighten up. And then I would be re-emerging. And that would take maybe another day or two. But then I'd re-emerge back into my non-moontime world. But having had this experience that I might journal about, or have created something, it might have inspired me to create a picture, a sculpture. It might have created something where I then bring that with me for the next month as a reminder. This is where I've moved. I've moved from there to there in a particular issue or situation. So maybe I could just read some more of the focuses that I discovered for myself, if that would be of interest. I start off with the menarche, but then for women, you know, body image, maybe men too, but I'm not as familiar with what men go through. Body image, you know, a girl moving out into the world as a woman, she's hit with a lot of body images. And that's another place where girls start losing control of themselves, thinking they have to look a certain way. And if they don't, there's a whole series of things that will happen that, to me, are not healthy for them, which are connected to the female self-image, and then it's connected to sexuality. One of the things that women don't necessarily understand is that this menstrual moon time sacredness is connected to creativity and has the opportunity to inspire creativity. It also has the opportunity to create psychic attunement. When you are in that part of your medicine wheel between the south and the west, your psychic awareness is open, and that's when you can receive messages. Rituals. Well, creating a ritual for yourself helps you to identify this is what's going on right now. It helps to pinpoint, maybe this is the moment when you know that you are going to light a candle. This is why you're lighting a candle. It's to evoke something that your moon time will evoke for you. Pain, that's probably one of the biggest. Pain and PMS is one of the biggest. When people say to me, sacred, moon time is sacred, what about the pain? Well, like I already said, I think when you're in harmony and when you flow with yourself, you can eliminate the pain. And trusting yourself, trusting your body awareness, trusting yourself to believe that you have the capacity to heal yourself helps you to eliminate the pain. Learning how to be in tune with the phases of the moon, that's very important. In the dark of the moon, often I still, even though I don't menstruate, I still follow the lunar cycles, because I know at the dark of the moon, I'm going to feel a certain way. At the full moon, I'm going to feel another way. The whole lunar cycle is connected to the tides of the ocean, and we're mostly water, so we have these tides within us, and these tides, you know, affect our awareness, and it just helps you to be more in tune with yourself when you know it's the dark of the moon. Okay, maybe that's why I feel like just crawling into bed tonight. It's the full moon. Oh, I think I'd like to go out and party. You know, it just helps you to be in tune with yourself. And those are some of the things that I hope women, can listen to, so that they can become more empowered. Because when you're a more empowered woman, you're a more empowered person. When you're a more empowered person, you're a more balanced person. And the world right now needs balance. We need to embrace our divine femininity so we can honor our own divinity. So we can help create balance again in the world. It's not to disempower anybody, it's not to disenfranchise anybody, but it's to create our own personal and feminine power and empowerment. The world is terribly imbalanced. It creates imbalance in the organic world. The earth is spinning out of control, and it's really up to all of us to refine and retune ourselves so that we are whole and balanced, and then out of that we will create wholeness and balance. Hopefully for the future generations. Otherwise, I don't know where we're going to end up. You know.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
I was going to try to ask, so spending a good amount of time in the South, which was where I think you could probably tune into this a lot easier.
You know, that's exactly what happened, and I so fortunately can go back there still, which is where I reboot myself. And
right.
Yes, it is a place where you can easily do that.
Right.
And yes, part of the problem in North America, or when you can't do that, is that A, you never even know it exists because you never get that opportunity. So that's another reason why I'm hoping that my workbook helps a woman. That's what it is. I'm helping to help women to reinvent this awareness so that maybe if they can pick up a little thread, just a little spark, which will then grow for them, they'll be able to do that. But yeah. And unless you know it even exists, you're in the old paradigm. But this is an old new paradigm. And anybody who is looking for a healthier direction can find it. And the first step is to just realize that there is a healthier direction. And I'm delighted that there's a whole global red tent movement, because what it's telling me is that women are craving this, and women are realizing that yes, there is such a thing. There is something deeper inside of them. So it's, you know, little steps, ripples out here and there.
So where's the word blood mysteries? Where does it originate? I mean, is that in English? I've not actually heard that.
I really should research that. I don't know. The blood mysteries, I kind of think they come from the more indigenous world. I've just read it. I myself haven't really... That's
right.
A very good question, and I will look into that.
But
the blood mysteries are what, like, somebody like Brooke Medicine Eagle will talk about. That's what these are. These are... from the myths of other more native indigenous societies.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, the book is here. Two books are here. And thank you on behalf of Many Rivers.
Well, thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. I really do. Thank you.
Good.